was a ghost?
It was not.
Oh, okay, you're right.
There could have been a ghost around. I just didn't see any ghosts. It was just an issue with the door.
A ghost issue?
Mm, right. Could have been.
I would still, honestly, I would love to go on an actual paranormal investigation.
I would too. We should do that.
And a paranormal investigation?
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm down for that. Like, I want to do that. But we used to do the stuff when we were, like, younger, like me and my friends in high school, you know, go up to the Ruffin High School.
Oh, yeah. Or Berry Hill Bridge. Did you ever go there?
Or the graveyard, just in general. Right. And, you know, that stuff. But, you know, we were just messing around and it wasn't an actual investigation. And it was just to do something dumb.
I want to get some, like, recording equipment. Some of those, like, what are they called? Like, picks up the different recordings. They're called something.
Are you talking about EVPs?
EVPs, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to get some recording equipment to pick up some EVPs, some cameras, infrared stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, I have those like feelings, you know? So I feel like we could go somewhere and I would get one of those feelings. It would be the perfect opportunity to like set up.
I had this weird idea. You know, you see all these gadgets and stuff on the ghost hunting stuff.
Right.
And you always hear about how, you know, spirits pull energy from stuff. You know, your batteries die in your equipment, flashlights, phones, you know, they pull energy. And then it gets very cold. And this is the theory that they draw energy so that they can do something. They can interact. They're building up energy so that they can let it out in, you know, whether it be closing a door, knocking something over, making a noise. Yeah, that's what the whole, you know, cold feeling, seeing your breath, getting goosebumps, stuff dying. I had an idea it's probably a terrible idea because it's probably dangerous.
All right, go on.
But I wanted to put into like a room, like a box that holds like water in it, like a humidifier. Mm-hmm. But it lets out like big sprays of water. And once it hits that spray, like a little like taser prongs, like shocks it and sends like electricity up through that spray of water.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I mean, like I said,
it could be dangerous.
It could be dangerous if you get sprayed and shocked by it.
But
maybe it's enough to put like energy, like a constant like spray and then hit of energy in a spot to draw something in and have it pull off that energy.
Right.
Like, you know, I haven't seen anything really on Ghost Hunter stuff that it supports trying to give spirits energy to interact. They're trying to capture it, the interaction, let it happen like natural. Like what if you give them the means to pull energy, a good source of energy to interact with?
Right.
What if it opens a portal?
I mean,
possible.
Anything is possible, right?
Yeah. So I don't know. That was just an idea of, I had of a piece of equipment, trademarked, CC, copyright. I call it the Brooks box.
All right.
The Brooks shock box.
The BSB.
Bust out the BSB.
Not the Backstreet Boys.
Not the Backstreet Boys. I mean, if it'll work, get them in there too. Right. Maybe they can help a spirit's pass by singing bye, bye, bye. Hey, or is that NSYNC?
That's NSYNC. It would be more like Backstreet's back. All right.
I mean, if you get some like 90s ghosts up in there, then they'd be like, is that Backstreet Boys? I mean, that could
get a lot out of them. Communicate.
Yeah, they're like, let's get out here. They're having a little concert for ghosts.
Yeah. And the EVP is just people singing along.
Yeah, clapping. Gonna love you.
Perfect. That's a perfect idea.
So obviously the next step for the podcast of the Sisbro show is to get together with the Backstreet Boys and go on a ghost hunt.
Okay. So let's see if I remember all their names. Brian Luttrell.
Mm-hmm,
and
that's
then
one.
There was AJ somebody.
AJ somebody?
Hold on.
Isn't AJ his first and last name or is it AJ something?
It's AJ something. And then there's Kevin and Nick. And there's one more.
Kevin what? And Nick what?
man, I know, but for some reason I can't think of it.
Nick Cannon?
Nick
Cannon. Is he a Backstreet Boy?
No, he's not a Backstreet Boy. Nick Cannon, the guy that was married to Mariah Carey. That does Wildin' Out.
Yeah, okay. Nick, that's Nick Cannon.
No, it was it's Nick. Hold on. He's got a
Carter.
Brother. Carter. Yes.
Why do I know this?
Oh my God, I don't know.
Because he did have a little brother.
Howie. There's another one, Howie. So that's all of them. Brian, Nick, Kevin, AJ, Howie.
What is the little brother's name? It's like
Aaron.
Aaron, yes. Aaron Carter. The only reason I know about this is I grew up with three sisters. So we had Megan, who was Backstreet Boys.
Right.
And Jesse, who was NSYNC. Mm-hmm. And y'all blasting songs. I'm over in my room singing along with him, going, ah, damn it. My Backstreet's best. Oh, fuck.
I remember Daddy used to love that one song from the Backstreet Boys. It was, God, it was like their first single. Quit playing games with my heart. Like, I catch him, like, playing the single. times, good times.
Yep. Did Betsy ever have, like, a band? Like, a defining band like you and Jesse had?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think she ever had one. I don't think she had, like, the band where she was like, oh, I love this band. This band's the best.
Yeah, no. She was too young for the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, and then...
So she may have had a band, but it was, like, beyond our times.
Right, right.
We should probably ask her that. Like, hey, you know, you like Backstreet Boys? Jesse like NSYNC? What was your band? Or singer. It had to be somebody.
It had to have been, right?
Yeah.
She likes a lot of country music, so I'm guessing it was some country thing.
Probably some, like,
Big and Rich. Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
I'm trying to... Is there such thing as country boy group? Bands?
Well, not really boy bands. There's groups, but Big and Rich is a group. Brooks and Dunn is a group. But
I'm talking like boy bands, like a country, like the whole young, pretty, like, you know, hey y'all, we're gonna sing this song for y'all.
No, yeah. At least one of them plays an instrument. You know what I mean? I think that makes it not a boy band. Like Boyz II Men would have been a boy band.
Why is Boyz II Men not a boy band?
They are a boy band.
Oh, okay. I thought you said they weren't.
No, they are because none of them plays an instrument.
So that's the defining thing of
a boy band versus just a regular band.
Wasn't there someone?
Most bands are just men, huh?
Was it NSYNC? Didn't they have someone who could play something?
I mean, they all maybe could play something, but they never.
But they did.
You never saw them playing anything.
They're too busy up front singing and being pretty
and dancing.
And dancing.
Exactly. So yeah. Maybe.
But back on topic though.
Paranormal. Oh yeah. Okay. Paranormal stuff.
Paranormal stuff.
Away from we'll have another show about boy bands.
Yeah. We'll do a whole podcast on boy bands. Maybe get some of them on for interviews.
Oh my God, that'd be great. Yeah. Let me tweet.
I mean, I guess we probably could do, you know, the whole paranormal investigation on them.
Well, you know, I did meet Jordan Knight in a hotel.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And who's that?
He's from New Kids on the Block.
Oh yeah, I remember you talking about that.
I met him in the elevator, and I actually have a picture of us together. But yeah, it was like the funniest experience. But again, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
So
I was going to make a joke about paranormal activity and, you know, just paranormal stuff and talking about their dead careers.
Oh.
How it's passed on.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of them are still going on tour. They do cruises.
No way.
Yeah, they get a bunch of these older ladies that were fans of them back in the day, and they put them all on a cruise.
That sounds creepy.
And they have, like, performances on the cruise, and then they, like, do meet and greets, and then... Yeah.
Then meet up in the hole.
Yeah. I swear, you can look it up. It's true.
That'd be interesting. That'd be just random too. Like, hey, we going on Backstreet Boys cruise?
yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even like mention it. Like, we just go on a cruise, like me and my wife, and then I'd be like, you know, hey, that Backstreet Boys right there. Right on my stage. Backstreet Boys.
BSB. Okay. All right. Paranormal.
Paranormal. Golly, we are off track.
We're totally off track.
Yeah.
It's hard, though. Hard not to get off track.
Yeah. I think we left off. The reason we got on Backstreet Boys is we're talking about doing paranormal investigations.
Right.
Because that would be something that would help further our, or at least mine. Like, I would like the experience to be able to either hop that line and say, yes, I believe in ghosts, or I believe in spirits, or, you know, be like, I didn't get anything, nothing happened.
Right.
And still be on the fence. But I would like to put myself in a position where I can have an experience that's going to make me believe. Like I said, everything I've talked about tonight, with everything I've said, it's still possible that my mind could be playing tricks on me. It's possible that just something's happened in my brain, paranoia wise, you know, stuff getting to me, you know, culture, scary movies. There's still not that definitive of, you know, that was a ghost. Like, even that thing I saw in the hallway, the shadow person going into the bathroom. You know, I have that theory that that could possibly just be imprints in time.
Right, right. But still, it's still paranormal.
Yeah, it's still paranormal.
That still leaves the spirit world open.
Mm-hmm. And I can't say that it was, and I can't say that it wasn't a ghost.
Right.
You know, I have my theories. But I would like to have that experience where, you know, I'm sitting there holding the recorder in, like, you know, an attic or something, or, you know, in a bedroom, and I'm asking questions to a spirit, and I look over, and there's a ghost, like, in the corner. Like, full-on, like, apparition. And it's all like, what's up? And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, ghosts are real. I whisper in the recorder. I'm like, ghosts, confirm, ghosts are real.
See? And I don't think that those kinds of experiences are that, like, black and white, though.
Yeah. Last thing that, you know, I had that experience with the great white monkey bat, and it made me a believer of, you know, not only that, but the possibility of other things.
Right.
And I guess I am trying to hunt.
You can see an apparition. Like, it's possible. People have stated that they've seen it.
Yeah, and you hear about certain ghost hunters who, you know, the reason they got in the business is that they had a defining experience, and now that's what they're chasing, the proof. They want to prove their experience. Like, it's right. Like, their main motivation behind it is that they know it's real because they had this experience, and they want to prove to others that it's real.
Right. And I believe, like, one of the shows, I can't remember which one it was, like, it started because they were trying to disprove spirits. They were trying to, like, show that they weren't real, and they couldn't. And then they were like, oh, shit, this stuff is real.
Hmm.
It was either Ghost Hunters or another show like that.
Is it Ghost Adventures?
Ghost Adventures, that's right.
Yeah. I know a lot of times, I mean, and honestly, I think that's what, you know, any good ghost hunter, you know, should do, is that they set out to try and disprove stuff.
Right.
They, yeah. They're very skeptical. But I've heard a lot of bad things come out about Ghost Adventures and how a lot of stuff was staged.
Yeah, I mean, but I can understand too. Once the show gets popular, there's a lot of pressure on it from sponsors and from, you know, to keep going, even if they don't find anything.
That was one of the things I liked about Ghost Adventures, is that, like, sometimes a lot of stuff, like major stuff didn't happen in some of the episodes, but it was also, you know, I think it was on the Travel Network. So you also got to learn about, you know, the places they visited, the history behind it.
Oh, there was, like, this one meme I saw where it's like, they were in, like, talking to 1600, like, ghosts from the 1600s in France, and they were speaking English to them. like, they were going to understand you. I thought that was funny.
It is good.
I mean, I guess if you do go to another country and try to talk to those ghosts, you kind of need to speak their language.
What I think too with that show, like, I learned the origin of being Shanghai'd. When people are like, you know, oh, I'm being Shanghai'd, is that it was actually, I was like, I think it was in California during, like, the big gold rush.
Right.
And there was, like, tons of people over there. And did you hear that? I just cleared my throat.
I didn't.
Okay, good. My mute button's working there. All right. So during the gold rush, people would go over to, like, California and stuff, and, you know, trying to find their fortune. And people in bars, primarily like bartenders and the women, were paid to lure men like to certain portions. Like they actually showed one of the bars that it was haunted that led down to these underground tunnels. They were led over to a certain area in the bar and they were liquored up, maybe even drugged, and they would legit pull a fucking like trap door and they would fall through into these tunnels. And there would be people down there to carry them away while they were all still drunk and doped up. And they would put them in prisons down there. And they said like the whole ground would be covered in like glass and stuff. And they throw you in cells and take your shoes. So if you try to run away, your feet would get all cut up. But then they would wait till like morning, drag you through the tunnels out to the ships and throw you on a ship. And then you would be off. You are now a deckhand on a ship. Like they would human trafficking for like pretty much slavery. Like they would sell, people on the ships. Because once you're on a ship and you're out there in the ocean, like there's no turning back.
Right. I mean, look at the slaves, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's just horrible what humans have been doing forever, right?
Yep. And but it's cool, like to learn the origin of that. It's like, I didn't know. I didn't know that's how it came about, getting shanghaied.
Yeah.
But then they did an investigation down there, and supposedly that's the bad thing. You watch these ghost hunting shows, and you want them to be true.
Yeah. So you know, like, when they show you, really cool. You're like, oh man, that's some good evidence. Yeah.
But then there's always that it's a TV show. And like you said, they need ratings, they need stuff happening, they need stuff going on. They can't just go on a ghost hunt, find nothing, and be like, well, maybe next time.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I feel like they might, and then those just don't air. Mm-hmm. Kind of like those talk shows or those radio shows that do, like, the prank calls or whatever. The person always answers. They have to call some people that don't answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just they don't air those.
It's true. So they get like stuff that has like nothing and they're like, we can't use this.
Yeah.
There's a possibility as well. There was something I saw on Ghost Adventures that I thought was pretty interesting though, especially if it's true. Mm. And those are doppelgangers.
Oh, I've heard of doppelgangers.
Doppelgangers are supposed to be like this crazy, like when you see someone you know and like they're just walking around. But it's not them. It's something that's taken on the form of them.
Right.
And there was something I heard, too, about you're not supposed to see your own doppelganger. Like, it's very bad to see your own doppelganger.
You're like...
yeah.
Right.
But once again, like, doppelgangers can probably still be explained by imprints. Like, what if they're just really clear imprints of you?
Well, I mean, have you ever been somewhere and somebody like struck up a conversation with you and was talking to you because they said they knew you and you were like, no, you don't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had someone swore up and down I had a twin. It was at a Walmart in our hometown, around our hometown area.
Right.
And there was a few people who told me that. They would ask me about something. One person specifically asked me about something I purchased that I never bought. And I was like, I never bought that. And they're like, you didn't come in here, blah, 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 and buy this. And I was like, no, I've never, no. And like, well, you got like a twin brother or something. Cause there was someone who looked just like you.
Ooh.
And I was like, sounds like a handsome dude.
Oh my God. So
first of all,
I was at a restaurant one day and this woman was like, oh my God, you look exactly like my cousin. Like, exactly like her. And I was like, oh wow, what's your cousin's name? And she said mama. And I was like,
oh. Oh, she said our mama.
Yeah, she said our mama.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying
her cousin's name was mama.
Her cousin's name's mama. Oh, you look like cousin mama.
She said mama's full name, like her maiden name. And I was like, no. That's my mom. She's like, oh. So every time I see her now, hey, cuz. But I guess, wouldn't be considered a doppelganger. I wasn't happy to hear that, but,
I got made for, just being, like, our last name.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was in a random gas station. And some guy was like, hey, You know, are you like, are we saying our last names or no? We're not.
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay. You're one of them. And you said my last name.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, yeah. And do you know how I was identified by my last name?
Oh, God. How?
Any guesses of how I was recognized as our last name?
Daddy.
Well, I mean, they knew that. I think they only knew like one of our uncles, and it was one that I don't look like. So it was another feature of our family that they recognized and said, oh, I could tell you were one of them.
Oh, God. Which one?
My big head. My big head was a dead giveaway. They're like, you got a big head. I mean, they didn't say it like that, but they're like, yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, we did have big heads.
Yeah, they said it like a nice way. They didn't say like, you know, you got a big ass head. I can tell you're one of them.
That huge noggin.
Yeah, huge dome.
You're going to cry yourself to sleep on your huge
How can dog? You stand upright with that on your shoulders, you know?
No, we do. We have big heads. Like, I can't deny it. I try to put Kevin's hat on and I have to loosen it up.
I have to stretch Crystal's beanies, like when they're too tight. Right. She gives me to wear them so I can wear them. And then when they go back to her, they're all nice and just loose on her.
And when I tell you, the kids to the doctor, like recently my baby, who's 18 months old, well, he's 19 months old tomorrow. They always like, oh, he's the 50th percentile in his weight and he's the 40th percentile in his height. But he's over the 99th percentile in his head. They're like, usually we say that's abnormal, but that's how all your kids are. And I'm like, yeah, it's genetic.
Yeah. And you just don't worry about that. You're like, you know, hey, this is a little weird. And you're like, oh, no, it's not. Yeah, not for us.
It's we have big heads. Huge brains.
Yeah. And so you can see more of our handsome faces.
Maybe it's because we were intermingled with aliens.
Oh, which is why we're so smart and clever and sexy.
Super sexy.
Super sexy. Everyone in the alien, like people just haven't called up to that. All the aliens, the bigger your head, the more sexy you are. Obviously, you know, right? I'm right, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So we're ahead of our time. Like if aliens met us, they'd be like, damn, look at that cranium.
Ooh. The humans got it going on.
They got that up top badonkadonk. Okay.
I gotta use that. The up top badonkadonk.
They got that up top badonkadonk.
I want to breed with them.
Mm-hmm.
Make some humongous headed babies. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can handle it.
I mean, maybe people are, you know, catching up to it too. Because every time I shave my head, you know, people got to rub my head. Maybe that's just a form of, you know, look at that big shaved head. I got to touch it. Got to rub it. You know?
God.
So, yeah, I mean, we're ahead of the curve.
Way ahead. You
know, way ahead.
You know, and I talk about how my hips are so wide, right? Like, I can never get past a size 8 pants. Like there's no way, because I can't lose bone. Like, you know, even when I was at my skinniest, I could not wear under a size 8 pants, and I need those wide hips to give birth to those big headed babies.
Last thing, the men have wide hips too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like me. Like I got down all the way to like 185 when I was like working out like really hardcore, and I'm like 6'1". I got down to like 185 pounds. And I still have wide hips. Like, we're just very big framed people.
We are.
Our people are very, very large.
Well, think about this. We're taller than our parents, right? Mm-hmm. And so I took Cooper to the doctor a couple of days ago. And the doctor was like, he's going to be at least 6'6". And think about his kids. They're going to be like huge.
Evolution. If you think about it, aliens are known to be very tall.
Exactly.
Very tall, very large heads. And the way that humanity is going, I mean, you see bigger and bigger people like every generation.
Right.
You know, it used to be uncommon to see someone so tall.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's becoming more and more common.
Yeah.
I mean, people say it's a lot of the time, it's like hormones and stuff in our foods and whatnot. But honestly, I think it's more of a generation thing. It's more of an evolution.
I am highly evolved.
Oh.
Okay. I've got the proof with a doctor that says that I have evolved. I was born without wisdom teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that's a part of evolution because we don't use them anymore. And so certain humans have evolved to be born without them, and I'm one of them.
Huh.
So more than likely, my children will not have wisdom teeth.
What about Kevin? Did he have wisdom teeth?
He did have wisdom teeth, and he had to have them taken out when he was in his late 20s.
Mm.
But I have none. And Betsy only has two.
I had, I want to say three. Three cut out?
Three? Just three? Not all four?
I'm pretty sure it was just three. I don't think that, like, the fourth one came in.
Yeah. So mine just aren't there at all. When they take x-rays, they don't exist.
Hmm.
Because I've always thought, what am I going to... Like, you hear all the time of people having to get their wisdom teeth cut out and wisdom teeth surgery.
Yeah, huh? I've had that. Except my experience with... well, maybe I should save this for another time.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'll throw it out there real quick because my experience with having my wisdom teeth cut out is not like everyone else's. Everyone tells me that when they had their wisdom teeth taken out, they were put under and like they don't really know what happened. All right. I got Novocaine shots in the gums and the dude went in there with like a pair of looking, like pliers.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And I cut my gums, like sliced them open. And then started like just breaking, straight up breaking my teeth.
Like you could hear the crunch.
Like I hear it cracking and breaking and him just pulling out pieces.
Yeah.
And I was awake for all of this. I'm just sitting there. You got like pliers in my mouth. I'm like shaking my head. I'm like.
But you just didn't have that good insurance.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if we were at a dentist's office.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know?
Well, there was this one dentist that I think in North Carolina. She got her license taken away because she had two people die within like a week of each other because she didn't have a proper anesthesiologist. So she was just getting the nurses to put them under. They were giving
like people that weren't trained or whatever.
Right, right. Like going to sleep and they just weren't waking up because they gave them too much.
And they gave her a second try. They were like, oh man, maybe the next one.
Well, like the first one, they thought some people just have a bad reaction to anesthesia and they never wake up. But then the second one, they were like, something's going on here.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How many is that now?
Within a week of each other? Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry.
The reason the whole dentist thing kind of struggled me too is like, and ours not being that great is afterwards, when I went home and you're doing the whole healing process the next few days, there was something sharp back here.
Oh, my God.
Messing with my tongue.
Yeah.
And it was bugging me. I was like, God, what is that? And one day I felt it snap. I said, oh. And I reached in my mouth and I pulled out a shard. Like.
Of your teeth?
A long piece of my tooth that was like an inch long. And I like pulled it out of my gum.
Yeah. That's happened to me before though.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was like, it was relief. It was like, oh my God, that's so good. That it's gone. It's out of my mouth now. But I wanted to out there talking about the shady dentist who went to town on my teeth with pair of pliers.
Well. They say that sometimes those pieces will work themselves out, but if you were feeling it from the day that you got it done, then yeah, that's kind of a shitty.
You just totally missed it.
Like pregnancy ruined my teeth. Like they just depleted all of the calcium from my system. And so calcium was coming out of my teeth. My enamel was like really, really thin. And I've had to have a lot of dental work done because of pregnancies. And so I've had teeth pulled and I've had dental implants. Put in, and one time I had like a piece of a tooth like work itself out, and I was like, "What was that?"
I thought I was like see like random somewhere like out like shop or something. You're like, "Oh yeah, that yeah, that looks nice."
I'm pretty sure that's how it happened.
Yeah, people were just looking like, "Did she just spit a tooth out?"
It just a piece.
Yeah, just a shard. I sharded.
It happens. Okay,
but back to the paranormal.
Paranormal. We keep it off track.
We keep it off track.
It's so easy though. One thing leads to another.
That's the way the show goes. That's
right.
Yeah. We got to that. Oh, yeah. Evolution and aliens and stuff.
And wisdom teeth.
And wisdom teeth and shady dentists.
Yeah.
And sharding.
Big heads.
Yeah, big heads.
Well, you know, they say certain blood types, the way that their blood is more alien-esque. And so like the O-neg blood, how we can give blood to anybody, but only O-negative can give it to us. Mm. It's something like the highly evolved type of blood, the Rh factor being negative. I've read, you know, theories that it's because aliens came down and made it with humans, and that's how that blood type came about. Before, it was everybody had positive blood.
Do apes or primates have that type of blood?
I'm not sure. That's something
like,
into.
What is their blood type?
Oh, you know what? Let me look it up.
Because that's what I always wondered. You know, that was always something when it came to the whole evolution, you know, that we evolved from monkeys, is why are there still monkeys?
Well, it's because it was a certain, this is what I've read, it was a certain type of ape. So there's all different kinds of species of apes.
But we have different types of humans. We have different races.
Right, we do. And I know some racist people that believe that only a certain race evolved from apes.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's, but once again, that could probably be explained by like evolution, but that doesn't explain how people on different continents, mm-hmm. you know, if we were like, if we came from the same like race of primates, and how we're so different race-wise and, you know, different continents, and we first never showed up to that continent and like, oh, wow, look at you. You look so different, you know?
Right, right.
Like Native Americans, African Americans, Africans.
I mean, it's part of the evolution of where they were, you know?
Yeah.
Like in Africa, it's very, the sun, you know, there's lots of sunlight. Very hot, and so
I never understood that though, because if it's very hot and it's very like a lot of sun, in, you know, with black people, like, don't they just, wouldn't that just make them hotter?
Well, they have a lot of melanin in their skin that helps protect them from the sunlight, unlike us, where you don't have a lot of melanin, so we get sunburnt more easily. Mm-hmm. We are more susceptible to sun stuff than people, African Americans.
So us who, like, you know, originated from like Scotland or England, mm-hmm. you know, where it's all rainy and dreary.
Right, where we didn't really need the protection from sun.
Yeah.
We don't have that much melanin.
Okay. Makes sense. So kind of touching back on the paranormal, you know, alien kind of doing a monkey.
Okay, so the Rh comes from Reese's.
The
Reese's protein, Rhesus protein,
Reese's
is named pizza. For the Reese's monkey, which also carries the gene, and is a protein that lives on the surface of the red blood cells. I'm going to have to read more into this because I don't really understand.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does. It's a mystery.
No, because, you know, they didn't discover the Rh factor of blood until 1937.
Mm. What's another good ghost story or ghost? Actually, I did have another dream I wanted to discuss.
Go on.
I just scared myself by seeing the back of my chair in the camera.
Oh my God, I saw it earlier and I was like, oh, what was that?
I caught a glimpse of it as I was spinning and I saw it come behind me. I was like, oh, I had a dream and that.
Well, like when I saw it, your head had moved to the side and your chair was moving, and I saw that hat back there. So I thought it was somebody. Okay, go on.
But I had a very odd dream. I can barely remember it. The one image that really stuck with me is that I was on a horse and carriage. Like, I was up front and I was, you know, driving a horse and carriage, or do you drive those? What do you call that?
Oh, you yeah,
operating a horse. I was a horse and carriage operator. And I was going through, it was storming, but it wasn't raining yet. It was just thunder and lightning. Mm-hmm. and it was getting dark, and I was trying to, I just remember a sense of urgency. I was trying to hurry and get out of that area. And lightning struck, but the lightning was so bright that it just looked like a flash of light. And then when the flash went away, there was this very pale wolf running along with the horse and carriage. And it wasn't like full on sprinting. It was just kind of like, you know, that fast, like trot that like dogs do.
Yeah.
And it was in like locked eyes with me. Like I was riding alongside of it, and it was looking directly at me.
Creepy.
Yeah. It was very, very weird dream. I just thought that would just always kind of, that image stuck with me of that flash of light and then that wolf there. But I wasn't scared of like the wolf. That's the thing. When I've had these weird dreams about these animals, like I'm not scared of the animals. I'm scared of the area. I'm trying to get out of the area. And it's like these animals are trying to get out too.
Do you believe in like past lives? Like reincarnation just about?
I mean, I don't know. Once again, like this more stuff of, you know, where I'm on the fence. You know, I don't know if there is. I don't know if there isn't.
Right.
Past lives, you know. I have a theory that I actually found out that was an actual theory. Like I've thought about this and I heard that, you know, other people think about this. Mm-hmm. Is that we are possibly all reincarnated and we all share the same soul. Hmm. That when I die, I'm actually reborn as someone else maybe in the past, and when they die, then I and then them are reborn someone in the future.
Oh my God, I've thought about that too.
Yeah, so it'd be like me and you might be the same like soul, just in different time periods.
Right, like you're just constantly being reborn as someone else.
Because I mean, that's essentially what reincarnation is. I mean, I don't think there's really no time, you know, constraints on the idea behind that. So,
right.
You know, why not would it be possible to be reincarnated in a different time period? And essentially it's just all, you know, one life form going back and forth between everyone. So once again, a theory.
Yeah. I mean, and I've heard of people having past lives and children being able to remember their past lives up until a certain age.
Mm-hmm. When they start forgetting it.
Yeah. You hear of children telling stories of how they died, or things that happened in their past life.
Areas they used to live in, people they used to know.
Right, yeah. It's kind of, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Vera's told some weird stories of things that have happened to her that I know have never happened, you know? Yeah.
And of course, we wouldn't be able to recall that because we wouldn't remember.
Right, yeah. But sometimes I think if you have like deja vu, or I don't know about you, but I have these dreams. They're not really recurring dreams, but they take place in the same area that I've never been to before.
Hmm.
Like I have these dream areas. Like it might be a house, it might be a city, it might be roads. And then I have separate dreams and they're in the same areas that I've never seen in person.
That makes a lot of sense because, I mean, not only the locations, but I've had tons of dreams where I was with people and I knew them in my dreams, but I don't know who these people are. I don't recognize them from like TV shows, movies, or my real life, but in my dreams, I know them.
Right.
So maybe that is. Maybe that is some type of influence from like past lives and people that I used to know.
Possibility.
Yeah, because I mean, have you ever had that? You ever had a dream where you dreamt and you were with someone and you knew them, they knew you, you were like friends or something?
Yeah, I have.
You wake up and you're like, I don't know who that person was.
Yeah, I have before. Like, it would be a guy and he would be like guiding us somewhere. And like the other night, I had a dream about one of Henry's friends and I'd never seen that kid before, didn't know who he was. It wasn't one of Henry's friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. I had a dream one time that I was a counselor at a camp. I mean, it was really weird because it kind of flew off on this weird like storyline. But there was another counselor there, and me and him were good friends. But I don't know who this person was. But in my dream, we're best friends, and he told me that the chef, the cook at the camp that does the prepares all the meals. Mm-hmm. Has the secret of life written on a piece of paper in his pocket. No. And I was like, you messing with me? He's like, no, dude, I'm serious. This guy has the meaning of life on a piece of paper in his pocket. And he was like, we have to get that piece of paper. And so I was like, okay, you know what? Let's do this. I'm down. You know, we're best friends. We're going to do this together. I don't fucking know this guy in real life, but in my dream, we were best friends. Right. I was ready to jump this person with them, which is completely out of character for me. I wouldn't jump somebody because I think they had something.
Right.
But in my dream, I was all gung ho for it. And so we wait until the place closes up and the chef or the cook is cleaning up. And he's a fairly bigger fellow. And he was like Asian, of the Asian persuasion. Mm-hmm. And so we go in there and my buddy starts talking to him and I jump on his back. Like he distracts him while I jump on him. And then my buddy jumps in and this guy is strong as all get out, starts tossing us around like we're nothing. And then finally, after like this very long struggle, we pin him down and I get this piece of paper out of his pocket. And I open it up and sure enough, it is the secret of life. And when I look at it, it makes so much sense. It like dawns on me. It's like, I should have known this all along. And then I wake up.
And you don't remember.
And I can't remember what's on that piece of paper.
God. I feel like you've told me the story before. Yeah. Like I had deja vu listening to it.
Mm-hmm. I might have told you that story because that's one that really sticks with me. Yeah. Where I just kept running through my head trying to remember it. And the more I thought about it, the more I kept forgetting.
Right. Yeah. That's how dreams are.
Yeah. The more you try to remember it, the more you forget. But everything that led up to that point, I remember. I remember vividly. The only thing I don't remember is what was on that piece of paper and why it was so simple, why it was something that I thought I should have known all along.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. Love.
Love.
Love. Love.
Treat everyone as if they are you.
Yeah.
Because maybe they are, because your theory about the whole reincarnation.
Or what if it says something like super weird? And this reason I thought it was like so simple. Like I read it and it was like, you know, the meaning of life is coffee.
Oh, and I'd have been of course.
Like, of course. I love coffee.
Oh.
Deep down, I already knew it. I just had to read it. You know?
You always had the answer.
Yeah. Deep down, we always knew.
There's no place like home.
Yeah. So, I mean, it all touches back to, you know, there's dreams of possible past lives, people you may have known in past lives. Mm-hmm. Maybe even ghost encounters are spirits who have known you in your past life and it's why they approach you.
It's true.
Maybe that's why they interact with you. Maybe they know you from a past life. Maybe that's what causes hauntings. Maybe they're not following you, but someone that you used to be.
Possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard this one story of this guy who buys this mirror from this auction.
Ooh, I love the spirits attached to objects.
Yes. All right. It's like, what is it called when the person dies and they auction off all their stuff?
An estate sale?
Estate sale. That's right. So he buys a mirror and he brings it home and it's so huge that he can't hang it on his wall because he doesn't have anything strong enough because it's so big. And it's just one like old mirror. And he sits it up against the wall to try to figure out what he's going to do with it. And really, he didn't really want the mirror. It just came with something else that he wanted. The lady was like, nobody wants to buy this mirror. I'm just going to throw it in. And then he realized later why she just threw in the mirror. She just wanted to get rid of it. Well, he said that him and his wife would work separate schedules. So when his wife was at home, he was at work and, you know, they would only go passing and usually he was asleep while she was awake, that kind of thing. And he said he would sleep on the couch because he didn't like sleeping in the bed without his wife. And he woke up and he heard this like old timey music. And he was like, where could this be coming from? I don't have a record player. I don't play this type of music, you know. And he went and he could see like spirits dancing. He actually saw them dancing, and he stopped. He's like, "Who are you?" Because at first he didn't know they were spirits. He thought they were actual people dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped. One of the men looked at him and said, "We came with the mirror," and then they just start dancing again. And he looks at the mirror and he can't see them, and he looks back and they're gone. Creepy, right? And his wife would sleep in the bed and she would hear the same kind of thing, like people dancing or something happening around the same area that he saw them. And he just said that that just kept happening off and on until finally they just got used to it. They kept the mirror.
Well, I guess it's not that bad. It's not like being like haunted. I mean, it's an inconvenience.
Right. Just people dancing around the mirror.
I mean, at first it's like scary. And then like you get up to like get you a drink in the middle of the night and you got people like ghost dancing everywhere. I mean, maybe they were down with it though. Maybe they were like, yeah, ghost party, let's go. And they just jumped in and started dancing too. Like, this is great.
Yeah. But I mean, for one of them to actually say to him, we came with the mirror.
Yeah. Well, that's also like they say that there's two different types of ghosts. There's the intelligent ones that can interact with you, mm-hmm. and then there's the residual ones, the ones that aren't aware that they're dead and they're just doing their normal routine.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like they're completely separate, which kind of goes back to my theory of just imprints, timestamps,
like Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Just going to work.
So it's mainly, it's not residual ghosts that you can't interact with or don't know that you're there and that you see just going about their business. Maybe not even, might not even be ghosts. They're just like the energy imprinted in time that you're watching replay over, you know, seeing or hearing someone walk across the front porch or, you know, like in our house where we, you know, saw people walking or heard people, you know, coming across the kitchen floor. And maybe not necessarily ghosts, might be just imprints.
Crazy.
And I probably need to look it up. I need to see if there's any like other theories like that too, where people think that they're just like the energy of people. You know, you do a routine for so long, it's like you leave like a ghost trail almost.
Right.
Energy that keeps replaying over and over again.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. So I like that idea when it comes to residual ghosts. Well, we just repeat the same task over and over again.
The guy that does that podcast I was talking about, he said that he heard this theory of if enough people in a close enough proximity are thinking about something, that they can create it into a physical being. Like it creates itself because enough people believe in it and are thinking about it that it just becomes. It
manifests.
Yeah.
That's the first time I'm hearing about this.
It was the first time I had ever heard about it, too. It's just weird.
That's very odd. I don't know how that, I mean, what would they think about?
But, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what he meant by it or what, you know, how you hear about the same people in a certain area having of seeing something. And then, you know.
So it's almost like it's similar to like a smaller version of like mass hysteria.
Right. Something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a group and...
Have you ever thought of something and then it happened? Whether it be a song or a movie or something?
Yeah. Well, I had this weird feeling when I was younger that I affected things by looking at them. Like, especially the main portion where I had that theory was when I was in sixth grade. In sixth grade, I had a habit of looking at something before something happened to it. Like, I was in sixth grade, I was in homeroom, and I looked at a mug that was on our teacher's desk. And he had done something to where he knocked that mug off, and it fell into the floor and broke. And I just remember thinking, like, why was I even looking at that mug right before that happened? You know?
Right.
Same thing with a pencil falling off the desk. And the same thing happened in sixth grade. It was someone next to me. I looked over and I saw the pencil laying there. It hadn't even started moving yet. And maybe they leaned like a certain way in their desk. You know, there's kind of like uneven. The pencil started rolling and then boom, right off the desk. And I just had that weird like thought, like, you know, do I have, am I a mutant?
Do you have that? What is it called where you can control things with your brain?
Telepathy.
Is it telepathy?
Telekinesis? No, I think telepathy is where you can read minds. Telekinesis is where you can move stuff.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So when I was in sixth grade, I thought I had telekinesis. I thought I could look at stuff and then stuff would happen to it.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I mean, if I tried to do it, then it wouldn't happen.
You had to not be thinking about it.
It was something that had to happen naturally. And if the more I like, if I try to do it, you know, it wouldn't do it.
Okay. But if I was just... Let me ask you this. This was in middle school. I don't know if it was you or Jesse or Betsy, but somebody had these like wish, like voodoo dolls. They were like little bitty. And you had to make a wish and put them under your pillow and the wish would come true. Do you remember those?
No? I want to say vaguely, but it's barely vaguely.
Well, they were like three of them, little, like, and so I tried it and it worked.
Did they look like little potato sacks?
Yes,
like
they
very
had
very coarse.
Like they came in like one of the little sacks, and then the thing was like a little yarn sacky person thing.
I think I do know what you're talking about.
All right, so I had one of them. Mm-hmm. And I made a wish, and it worked.
What was your wish?
I can't remember.
You just know that you made a wish, and then it came true?
And it came true. Hmm. Something about, like, the teacher had found something and threatened to call my parents, so I wished that she didn't, and she never did. And then the other one was I wished that I was crowned, like, queen of eighth grade formal, and I was. And then the third wish didn't come true. So it was like every third wish wouldn't come true, but the first and second one would. So I ended up wishing like the third wish, and then I lost them. I don't know what happened to them. It's like they just disappeared.
They got all wished out.
Yeah. I didn't think of wishing for anything like money. I just wished for like eighth grade stuff, you know?
Yeah. Wish for old so-and-so to kiss me.
Yeah. I don't wish to be rich or anything. But it worked. And I used to think that if I didn't pray at night, then something bad would happen. Because, like, I forgot to pray one night and something bad happened. I think Daddy had, like, a gallbladder attack or something. So I was like, oh, that's why. Because I didn't pray. So for the longest time, I only prayed because I didn't want anything bad to happen.
I think that's probably a common thing. I mean, you also have, like, you know, kids who feel like if they don't do something, something bad's going to happen.
Right.
And it's from like an experience. It's like they learn stuff. It's like when it becomes common knowledge. Like I think Jesse puts it best when she was talking about when she was teaching a class in Maryland, mm-hmm. and how things makes more sense to you when you're younger. And the main thing is that we used to play Batman and Robin, and I was always Batman, and she was Robin. Mm-hmm. And she was like, "Hey, why am I always Robin?" And I was like, well, I'm older, so you know, you got to be Robin.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense, now that you said that out loud. And another one was, you used to play James Bond Jr.
James Bond Jr.
James Bond Jr. was the cartoon version of James Bond.
Right.
Of his son, James Bond Jr. And then there was Q's son, IQ. And Jesse had to always be IQ, and she would ask me, you know, why? Hey, how come I got to be IQ? How come I can't be James Bond Jr.? And my excuse was, well, I'm a junior, so obviously I have to be James Bond Jr. And to her, it was just like, oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Let's continue to play. Right. But so just stuff like that, when it impacts, like, you know, kids, like, you know, that's just the way it is. When I was growing up, you know, I'm like pretty much blind in my left eye.
Right.
And my reasoning behind it when I was little, like, I already knew this when I was little, and I thought it was normal. I thought I made sense of it because I was like, well, I'm right-handed. I was like, my right side of my body is better than the left side of my body.
Right.
I'm right-handed. I'm not good with my left hand. My right eye works better. My left eye doesn't. And that's how I reasoned it with it. And I thought everyone was like that.
Yeah. And kids are more like they more accepting of other people's differences and of their own. It's not until somebody teaches them.
they're not technically like tainted yet.
Right.
You know, they haven't been put the like values and beliefs in them yet.
I think that's why
everything's still new and fresh.
I think that's why they are more susceptible to those experiences, paranormal, mm-hmm. ghost, spirit, past lives, because they don't have anybody telling them that it's not real. It can't happen. It's their imagination, you know?
And that's probably why now a lot of stuff that happens, you know, when we were little kids, you know, I still believe, you know, I was a stupid kid. Mm-hmm. It may have been, I do have a wild imagination. Maybe it was my imagination. But that's older me telling, you know, saying that that couldn't have been real.
Right.
But little me, when little me experienced it, that shit was real. That was going down.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying.
There were a lot of experiences I had that now I'm like, what really happened, you know?
Well, you think about it too, like, we probably have some like deep-seated like stuff that's gone down in the experiences. Maybe I've even seen a ghost. Mm-hmm. When you say something, and this may be just the fear or it may be something I have blocked out. When you start talking about the story about the alien at the back door looking through that little like triangular window.
Yeah.
That's the back door. I started having some weird flashback or deja vu of seeing something through that window. And I don't know if it was just little me looking at that window and being afraid of seeing something, or if I did see something and I just happened to black it out.
I mean, who knows?
I mean, stuff, traumatic stuff could happen to where, you know, you see something as a kid and it's just so scary that you just immediately just disregard it. Like you black it out, you forget about it, move on. Convince yourself that it wasn't real.
That could happen. And for some reason, we still remember the lady singing in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But I guess it wasn't that scary to us because we never really saw anything.
And it was never traumatic. And what I saw was a dream.
Right. That you thought.
Or I hope it was a dream.
Right. I never went into the bathroom when I heard that.
That was the only time I actually dreamed of being in the bathroom and being drawn in. Like I said, it was very... Like, I wasn't out of my body. I was in my body, but I couldn't control my body. I was walking, and I was going into that bathroom, and I couldn't stop myself. And, like, inside, I was screaming, and I was trying to stop, and I couldn't.
It makes me wonder what my kids are seeing. You know what I mean? Or hearing. Because I never told Mom and Daddy about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Or even if we did, you know, if we were just like super scared and said anything about it, it probably just came out as like gibberish. Came out as like, you know, it's a ghost. I'm singing in the bathroom. You know, like, oh, shut up.
Right.
I'm going to sleep. I got work in the morning, because they didn't know. Then maybe they didn't hear it.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they couldn't hear it.
Yeah. Maybe not. Yeah. Or maybe they did and they just didn't tell us.
No. Yeah. Maybe they didn't want us to be scared. I mean, we couldn't afford to move anywhere.
Have you ever thought of why stuff like that happened there? Was it because of us being more susceptible to it, or was it like poltergeist where there were bodies buried under the trailer, or
I think, and this is kind of just a basis off of my dream and seeing that woman, I feel like that woman drowned. Because, like I said, it looked like she had been in water for like way too long,
right?
You know, her skin was very pale and very see through. You could see her veins, and they were like super blue. Like, I felt like if I were to touch her, she'd be like really cold,
right?
And the vines that like reached out and were like coming slowly at me is like, I don't know, not quite like roots, but like the sticks and stuff you would see in like rivers. Mm. You know?
Right.
So I don't know. I feel like if that's a possibility, then that's probably someone who maybe have drowned there. There was a creek nearby, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a creek.
There was a creek nearby. There was a really big one across the road too. Remember, we couldn't go past it. It was really big. It had a big drop.
Oh yeah,
and it looked like it was a lot bigger than just a creek. It looked like at one time it probably could have been a river.
It might have been. I'm not really sure about that area anymore.
I remember vividly one day deciding to go all the way back there. Like, we weren't supposed to go all the way back there, and I went all the way back there. I got a whooping for it, too.
Oh.
I did. I remember this vividly because I went all the way back there, and it took me too long to come back when someone was calling for me.
Oh.
Because I went back there, and it was a huge drop-off, and it was a huge gap. I mean, it was probably just a good size in reality because I was so little. Mm-hmm. But it was still a good size. And it was just a creek running through it. And I just remember thinking, well, how come this like opening is so big and it's only got this like small like source of water running through it?
I'm pulling it up on Google Maps just to look at it, but it's been so long ago that I don't even see a creek there. Oh, maybe like a little one.
Last I heard, they actually cleared away all those woods we used to play in across the street.
Yeah, they did. They're gone. There's like a few trees, and then there's woods. They've cleared most of the woods that were behind our house, too. I can see where our house used to be. There's no house there anymore.
And we used to ride our bikes through there. We had all these like different bike trails and stuff where we rode.
There's like a little pond through. Back there.
A little pond?
And now I see the creek. The pond feeds the creek, it looks like. You should look it up on Google Maps. Yeah, it's called Giles Creek.
Giles Creek.
Yeah, let me see what it like feeds into. Oh man, it does get big. You're right. You need to look it up. It's pretty cool.
That would be an interesting thing if we were to look up and find like a woman's
it feeds
past
into
that.
The Hall River. The Hall River is right there. I would say maybe a mile from our house. There's the Hall River. Which goes through North Carolina. You could follow the Hall River from there to like Burlington.
So I bet you if we were to look it up, I mean, there's no telling how like long that woman had been there, but we could probably find like records of a death or a drowning before the year I was born.
So.
Or maybe even around that time.
Right. I'm looking. I'm just seeing. They might not be online, though.
Yeah. That might be like official like records and stuff, especially, you know, how old it would be.
Oh, yeah. There's an architectural. Wow. There's like a Wikipedia of Hall River, and I just saw history. Lord Cornwallis passed nearby during the last days of the Revolutionary War. Wow. During the Civil War, much cloth was shipped to Raleigh for Confederate uniforms from the Hall River. I'm just looking. It was talking about people that had died in the like Google, you know, search results. I'm not sure. I would have to like go way back and look at like the newspapers around that time, like at the library, you know. Wow, it's just crazy. It's a lot of people have died in the Hall River. And the weird thing is there's a city called Hall River. So when you say deaths in the Hall River, it's also pulling up the city too. All right, what was the creek's name? Giles? Giles? G-I-L-E-S. Oh my God. Oh my God. A body of Henry Hamlin found in the creek, in the Giles Creek near Mizpah. But I'm guessing like Mizpah Church, you know, that's like the area. Oh man, there's a lot. I mean, it could have been even longer before, because I'm looking at death notices from 1907. I'll have to, like, that's what I do, though. I'm a researcher, and I find stuff. If it's online, I'll find it. But it might take me a while. I can't hear you.
Sorry, I was muted.
Have you been talking this whole time? I've been talking.
I just told this great story, and you kept talking over me. And I was like, this bitch.
Couldn't hear you. No, I was like, man, he's being quiet.
No, the only thing I said is that the only thing I can think of that would be have any like significance is why she would be singing and calling out for children. That has to be something. If this is in fact, like, I mean, this is already kind of, you know, crawl rates with, you know, us hearing the same thing, me, you, and Jesse.
Right.
But if we were to find some type of record of some woman who had drowned, maybe her body wasn't found. Maybe it's nothing, though. It could be just a woman who went missing in general in the area. It'd be hard to find, but it'd be significant in the reasoning behind her singing and trying to call out for children.
Maybe she was a witch. Maybe she like in Hocus Pocus.
Ooh. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm tired. I'm about to start singing, "You're a mean one, Mrs. Witch." Dun, dun. So, but that's not even from the movie Hocus Pocus. So.
No, it's not at all. So, what's that song they sing? The "I Put a Spell on You."
Yeah, that's probably the one I was trying to go for, but I came up as "You're a Mean One, Mrs. Witch." Dun dun.
Oh God.
Yeah, so it's just a cool thought that we can research that and possibly find a connection between the woman in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Something based off what I saw, the imagery I saw of her.
Maybe she was trying to save a child or something. You know what I mean?
Maybe she was one of those cases that you hear about of a mother drowning her children.
Ooh, she was looking for us.
I mean, those vines were reaching out for me and she was luring me in. And I didn't want to go.
I'm too busy looking more into it, because now that you say something like that, it's like, maybe that's why it was in the bathroom, because that's where water was, you know?
That's true. Running water. Running water is supposed to be a good source of energy for spirits.
Right.
And if that water, you know, was running in within that area, maybe that was a way for her to travel, maybe following water sources in general.
And she found a house with a bunch of kids.
With a lot of kids.
Yeah.
A lot of babies.
Mm-hmm. And she chose our bathroom because it was right beside our room.
Yeah. Because there was a bathroom in our parents' room, too. They had their own bathroom.
They did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never heard singing in there.
I think very nonchalantly, we should probably bring this up to our mom and dad and be like, "Hey, did you ever hear some creepy-ass singing come from the bathroom?"
Right.
You're very nonchalantly.
I feel like I should, because I never, ever told anybody about it.
Yeah, me neither. Up until a few years ago when I happened to bring it up. And it was just like a funny thing. I never thought it would ever come to this. I thought I was just going to say, "Yeah, you see her singing from the bathroom when I was a little kid." Man, I was dumb. And I thought we'd be like, "Ha, ha, ha." And you'd be like, "Yeah, you were dumb." And I'm like, "Yeah, I was." But you and Jesse just completely, like, your faces just turn and you're like, "What? What did you just say?" Right. And I was like, "I heard singing come from the bathroom."
Yeah. But, like, I thought it was angels. Like, that's what my mind thought up. It's angels in the bathroom. And I pictured them, like, hovering over the bathtub singing. And it was
you saw multiple ones. Like, well, saw them as multiple angels.
I saw them, but I never saw it. Because I could hear, like, oh. Like, it was just like this. It wasn't words.
It was very angelic. Yeah, it was just like, it was tones. It was like humming. It was very, it was never words. It was always just that tone.
Yes. And it did get loud. Like very loud. And whenever I would hear it, I would run and get in the bed with mom and daddy.
Oh man, this is very creepy.
It is. Like I'm surprised that you I can't believe we never talked about it as kids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it never came up. It was just never something that we like really explored or really thought was like relevant. You know, it was just something stupid, and we didn't want to be like, you know, made fun of because we got made fun of. We made fun of each other for each other's fears.
Yeah,
I
we
mean, look at
totally
Betsy
did.
and Leprechaun.
I'm the leprechaun.
I'm Leprechaun. I want to go chilling.
Oh, did you know her son Cannon was the leprechaun for Halloween?
Really?
Yes.
That's great.
Her fears come to
Yeah.
life. Oh,
So,
okay. I was thinking of this story. We lived in the brick house and we watched the Blair Witch documentary
oh
that they put
God.
out
Not even the
before the
Blair Witch
movie.
movie. It was just a documentary talking about the movie. But they made it
Yeah.
look like it was something real, like a documentary.
Because, yeah, they interviewed people. We thought the shit was real. And that scared the shit out of us. It was way scarier than the movie.
It was because it made it seem a lot more real, and they only gave you like tidbits of it.
Right, yeah.
And so I think that's what made it scarier than the actual movie itself is it made it feel more real than the
Right.
movie
And
did.
there were like drawings of her and stuff like that, you know?
I mean, the movie was still scary, but it went nowhere near as scary as the actual like the little trailer documentary thing for it to hype it up.
Yes. It was like an hour long. I remember staying up late and watching it. We were all in the living room. And I remember at the end, I was like, Jesse, were you in the bathroom with me? And you said, y'all crazy. Think you're going to leave me in here by myself?
I do remember that.
I think we all slept in the living room
Yeah.
that
We all camped out. I had to stay close together because that
Yeah.
damn Blair Witch.
Oh my
I
God.
remember I thought I was real up until I saw them accept awards.
Right? I was
Yeah.
like, what?
They showed like a little preview or something like that on like MTV or something like that.
Yeah.
They're like the cast of Blair Witch Project accepting their award for blah blah blah. And they're up there like la la. I'm like, those motherfuckers are alive. They lied.
You know, just them being in that movie killed their careers. Did you ever see any one of them in anything else? No. I can't believe that they made it seem that real and it wasn't. But they didn't.
And I mean, I think that's the movie that really started the genre of the whole like documentary style
Right.
movie. And I've seen some shitty ones. I've seen some like super shitty ones that
Like
are
Blair
tied
Witch
to it.
Project 2.
Yeah. It's not even shot the same way.
No, it's like a
They
feature
made like a,
movie.
yeah, it's like a cinematic movie.
Right. Well, have you seen that movie with the white owl? What is it called? Where they had like the alien experiences and they all saw this white owl. I have to figure out, but like they put out fake news stories beforehand and they got sued about it because they were trying to make it seem like it was real. Oh yeah, let me find the name of it.
I'm hoping the story of the great white monkey bat spreads like wildfire.
Hope so. The fourth kind, that's the name of it.
I think I have seen that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like in Alaska and they all seen that like this white owl or something. And the woman's daughter got abducted and she was trying to find her or something like that. And they made it seem like it was real. Like they showed like the video of her interviewing the guy, like, and then they supposedly showed the real footage side by side of what happened. And like his body was like jumping up and down and like, I don't know. They made it seem like it was real when really it wasn't.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. Even putting out the fake news story, it's a little too far.
That's a little too much.
Yeah, and it really makes it where these people have these real experiences just seem like they're bullshitting because you have all these fake things come out. That's not fair.
And it gets to the point where you don't know who to believe about these certain stories. That's why I'm hoping that we can get some good responses or some good stories you know, maybe to do on like a follow-up, like paranormal, we can like talk about other people's experiences and possible encounters with the white monkey bat. That's the main thing I want out of this.
Yes.
Yes.
Great white monkey bat. So there is like different paranormal like message boards and subreddits. Like I think we should definitely ask around to, you know.
I mean, but how would you approach something like that? How would you ask? How would you go in like, you know, hey, what's going on, guys? I'm new to this subreddit. Has anyone seen a great white monkey bat?
I guess you really can't call it that since that's what the name Daddy made up.
But I want this to catch. I want it to like, I want like years down the road, we'll be watching like a trailer and it'd be like, you know, every fall it comes and hunts. Doom, 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 doom. Great white monkey bat. In theaters, October.
We don't know what it eats though. And like,
yeah.
Like, it was never, like it was chasing us in the vehicle. Yeah. But
well, that's the thing. It may be just being spooked and being defensive,
right?
And attacking out of fear, because the feeling I got off of it when we passed it on the road and it was shaking. I mean, it could be something that was wrong with it. It could have been just the way it is, but it seemed scared. It seemed like we just rolled up on it because it was like 4 a.m.
Right.
It was still pitch black. Yeah. And it was in a very remote location, which is why it's even odd that even more like weird that a state trooper would be coming through around that same time.
Yeah, probably because people have spotted it and called.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking maybe a report came in of something seen, maybe something heard, maybe a noise complaint. Maybe someone's like, hey, it's like 4 a.m. I just heard something outside.
Right.
You know, or my dogs are going crazy or something to cause a state trooper to go out there and kind of patrol out there and happen to be in the same area where we just spotted it.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't 10 minutes before he showed up.
Right. It's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then with my experience, it was just getting dark. Like it had been dark for just a little bit, you know. And it was in the tree, and maybe it saw a car, wasn't expecting it, you know, thought that maybe the tree it picked wasn't really close to anywhere, you know what I mean?
Well, that's also another good possibility, too, is that Nomi's story. What was Nomi's story about her seeing
it? Okay, so she was coming home from her boyfriend's house in the middle of the night, and I'm going to have to ask her about what time. I want to say it was like fall when she called me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a couple of years after, and she saw it in the trees, and as she went by, it opened up its wings and then just like flew off into the woods. Kind of the same thing as me, except for it flew into the woods instead of flying out into the open where I could see it.
Mm-hmm. So it's very possible that these creatures are afraid, very defensive. Another good possibility with your encounter with it attacking the vehicle and then coming around for like another pass, but then you guys lost it after that. It only attacked once.
Yeah, like I watched it as it finally lost it because it was a curvy road we were on.
The only reason I would think out of the only three encounters that we know of right now with the great white monkey bat, there's only been one attack. And the only reason I can think of that it would actually attack, and this is very similar to birds, is to defend its nest or its young.
Oh, it was really high up in the tree.
That's a very animalistic instinct, especially with flying animals and birds themselves, is that if some dangerous gets nearby, they will straight up attack it no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. They will attack it and try and you know, get it away from their nest. So it's either that it was nesting there or that it was had young there.
I remember what area it was.
Yeah.
Like I remember exactly where. I wouldn't say like the exact tree, but I remember the exact area.
I remember the exact area too because they wasn't far from the house.
I know.
And it was like right up the road. Like it wasn't too far from that damn stop sign from where we turned on that road.
So it's like a minute or maybe two.
Maybe two. I'd be surprised if it was 2 minutes from the house.
Oh, geez.
That's how close it was.
It follows me. maybe now I'll see it here. But I mean, I'm being honest. I've only seen it that one time.
Yeah. I mean, from the accounts we've heard of, and how the span of the years in between these sightings, right, is how rare this is.
Yeah.
Because how many years was it between when you saw it and then when I saw it?
At 13.
13 years.
Yeah. And we don't know if it was the same one. It might have been just two different ones. Maybe that one was the young that the other one was protecting. You never know.
They could have been all grown up, 13 years old, yeah, a little scared out on its own. But this thing was big. I mean, this thing had a body of a full size, like buck.
Right.
Like a deer. Like if you picture a big ass deer, like leaping, that's how it stood tall. It was big enough to where I thought it was a deer trying to clear a fence.
Yeah.
But when we approached it, it was standing there shaking.
And see, the only reason why we know each other's stories is because we're related and Naomi's my friend. Like, how many of these stories are out there that we just don't know because we don't know the people?
Yeah. The only reason Naomi even knew about it is because we gave you so much hell, and that was the running joke, was the great white monkey bat.
Yeah. Yeah. And she picked on me about it too.
Yeah. So that's the only reason that she even knew when she saw it, what she saw.
Yeah. And I'm sure other people have seen it and like thought it was something else, you know?
Yeah.
Like Daddy was trying to explain, it was probably a crane. I've seen cranes before. This was not a crane.
Yeah. Well, what I saw was definitely not a crane.
Yeah.
This thing was big. It was furry. It wasn't feathers. It was fur. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't look mangy or anything. It had like really, really fine fur. And I just can't get over how non-reflective it was. How right. It was white, but it wasn't bright when the lights hit it. That's going to always kind of mess with me with, you know, why, you know, you shine like lights on like a white rabbit.
Right.
You know, that thing is bright. Looks almost like it's glowing when you hit like high beams on it. But this did not, this was white. It wasn't gray, but it didn't put off that light.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to have flown away.
It had to have. It had to have taken, I mean, we didn't look straight up in the air. We didn't know what it was at first when we saw it.
Right.
We just stopped, backed up, got straight out. I mean, we were out on the ground in like 10, 15 seconds. Like, that's how quick it was. It was like, bam, we were out. We already had our little headlamp flashlight things. Because, you know, we did cable. We had all our stuff right there.
Right.
I think I already had, like, my headlamp around my neck is where I always wore it. That way I can just grab it and put it on top of my head. So we got out. We were shining lights everywhere. Nothing. Right. Couldn't see it. I mean, it's possible it ran away. Like I said, it was still dark and we had our lights, but this thing was not reflective.
Did you hear anything? Nothing?
No,
any
noises.
Any, like, distinct smells or anything?
Nothing I can recall. I mean, the whole area smelled like cow shit.
Right.
So there was nothing that you could really smell over that.
Yeah.
But nothing other than just seeing it. There were no sounds. There were no smells. Nothing I can recall other than just seeing it. And I'm glad that someone else saw it with me.
Right.
And can confirm, because when I turned to him and was like, what the hell was that? He was already looking in the side mirror trying to look back at it. He goes, dude, I don't fucking know.
And I remember when y'all told me.
Yeah.
I was just like, I told you.
Like a moment of triumph. Yes. 13 years. For 13 long years.
I mean, I always stuck to the same story. I never, you know, added anything or took anything away.
Yeah, never wavered on its existence.
Right. I knew what I saw. And, like, my boyfriend at the time, like, okay, so Henry said, he said, Mama, I'm still skeptical about this great white monkey bat. Can you get in touch with your boyfriend at the time so we can ask him some questions? I was like, no, Henry, I'm not doing that. I said, if you want to ask anybody, ask Uncle Bubba. Ask your dad. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we synced it.
Mm-hmm.
We see the world through two eyes. And that's why, I mean, that's why we're kind of circling back on this topic and really stressing this, because, you know, anyone out in that area, hopefully people that we even like know who may be listening to the podcast, may either have their own experiences with being out in that area, know someone in the area who has said, happened to just told a story in passing.
Right.
Like, I saw this giant bat-like creature. And they're like, oh, you were drunk, you know, whatever.
Yeah. You
know, just pass it off. And hopefully this is going to ring some bells and be like, hey, there's something out there in that area.
We want to know.
That we want to know about. And it may still be like, if we can get some accounts, maybe we can also find the most recent account.
That would be great. Like, maybe one within this past fall.
Yep. We can post a map and do like little pins, little markers. It's like, hey, it's been spotted here, 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 in this time frame, this time frame, this time frame.
Oh, and like huge bonus if you have any kind of evidence, a picture. Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be great?
God, I wish I could find a picture of it. I wish we had a dash cam.
Right.
Because that dash cam would have picked it up. I mean, it would have been quick because we kind of passed it.
Right, but it still would have been there.
It would have been there. It would have picked up on a dash cam.
Yeah. Well, there was no. I mean, there probably were like in cop vehicles in 2000, but nobody had them in their vehicles.
Yeah. They're like, dash cam. Why would you want a camera aimed at your dash? I can see it from sitting right here. Why would you want that?
Yeah. But I just feel like we can't be the only ones.
We can't. I mean, the weird thing is over the 13 years between the sightings, a brother and sister saw the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, something that I've been making fun of you for so long.
Everybody was.
And then I see it and I'm like, oh shit, it's true. And like I said, that was a big moment in my life where I'm like, all these other stories I've heard on TV or just anywhere else where I've seen online make me question, is that real? Did they, like, I was so quick to dismiss it before. And now I'm a little more like, you know, tell me a little bit more about this. I want to hear this, the story of yours. Where did you have this experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this greater monkey-faced bat. That's an actual animal. It's in the Solomon Islands in Papua New Guinea.
I think the largest bat is the fox bat, though.
It has a wingspan of over 4.9 feet, but it's only like 6.3 to 6.7 inches. Oh, no, that's its forearm. It only weighs about a pound. And that's not definitely not what we saw.
Yeah. I mean, this thing was the size, at least body wise, like torso wise. Its legs were longer because I thought this thing was midair.
Yeah.
So it had longer legs, but torso wise, size of like a full grown like buck, like a deer. And I think in my research I found that the fox bat is like the largest bat in the world.
Oh my God, I've got like goosebumps.
What?
Let me read you the title. Sighting of a flying creature with the body of a large monkey and bat-like wings.
What color? Does it say what color?
Reported in Gary, Indiana. Let's see. The creature described by the witness bore a strong resemblance to that which was reported seen on January 19th of this year, and this was in 2019. So these were separate sightings in January in Gary, Indiana. The creature was said to be a grayish flying creature with large wings that were similar to bat wings. Brother or father noticed a large winged being flying near the top of one of the trees and made the rest of the family aware of the being. The children were taken back into house. His brother and father continued to observe the winged humanoid, which was described as having a body of 4 to 5 feet in length. The wingspan was approximately 10 to 12 feet, but could have been larger. The entire body and wings were light in color. This sounds like it.
That does sound like it.
Stated that the body reminded him of a large monkey in shape. The wings were bat-like and reflected in the moonlight, which that was my experience.
Was reflective?
In the moonlight, it looked like bat wings. almost like a transparent reflection. You know what I mean?
See, when we saw it, it was on the ground. We only saw the long arms. We didn't see the wings, which with bats, you know, the bats have where when their wings collapse in.
Right.
You know, it's just their arms.
Yeah.
And then when they spread their arms out, their wings spread out.
Like a
and
bat.
That's like a bat. And that's why I you know, came to the conclusion that what I saw was a great white monkey bat because of how long its arms were, that it was standing there and hunched over, but its arms went all the way to the ground. So right. This thing had long arms.
Yeah. It said that the witnesses heard a whooshing sound when the being flapped its huge wings. Then it flew into the trees and disappeared.
See, and I haven't tried to research this in a long time. I tried to research this way back in the day.
Right. This was in 2019.
Yeah, so this was just last year.
Right. And I think this should be the end of our podcast.
Yeah. I think we should leave it there. We finished strong with the real emphasis on trying to find out more information about the great white monkey bat.
And we would definitely love to talk about this more with possible other people that have seen something similar. It doesn't have to be white. It doesn't have to be, you know, humanoid. Yeah,
we've come to the possible conclusion that there's different species or different types of these beings out there.
Right. And just like this, and I'll send this to you, Brooks. It's just kind of creepy. There was other people that had seen it 2 miles west of where the other sighting was. 5 miles south of Lake Michigan.
See, that's a little more believable too when you start having multiple sightings within like an area.
Right.
What do they call that? They have a term for that. There's a term for when a group of people in an area are almost able to track like the pattern of something. I think they're called crypto creatures or crypto.
Yeah, cryptids.
Cryptids.
I'm just looking at this. There's a list of it on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So, animals presumed by followers of cryptozoology.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they're kind of referred to as these cryptids. And when they're spotted in mass, when people are able to, like, it's almost like a line like that travels, like you can almost track the movement of it based on its sightings.
Right.
I think it's called like a flock. They call it I can't remember. I think I want to say flock, but it's a term for a group of people who have seen it. And it almost, if you follow the line in the timeline, it tracks like the movement. Like you can like say, okay, this is a little more believable because the first sighting was here at this time. Second sighting was here at this time.
Right. Yeah. And
it forms like a line of, you know, where it was traveling.
Oh, I'm definitely going to have to do some more research. Mm-hmm. And then we will have another episode about the great white monkey bat. And
yeah, we'll have to definitely put the podcast out there and see if we can find some good stuff to follow up on and do another podcast on paranormal activity and just in general and some other encounters as well, because we also want to hear about your ghost encounters, your spiritual encounters,
any kind of encounter,
your alien encounters, you know, we're
weird
open
encounters
to
that you can't quite explain. It doesn't even have to be ghost, spirit, alien. It could just be something weird.
Yeah. Something that happened to you that has affected you and changed your perception on certain things.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So next week next week is Valentine's Day. So our show will be Valentine's Day-esque. Right?
Yes.
We'll talk about love.
Talk about love.
If you have any love stories you want to share, let us know. anchor.fm/sisbroshow.
A comedy duo. Wait, is that in there? Or?
No, it's not in there.
Okay, so
are a comedy duo.
We are a comedy duo. Sisbroshow.
Sisbroshow. Hashtag.
Hashtag great white monkey bat.
Let's get this trending, people.
Now, if once you post this and starts like spreading out, I would totally tweet it out and ask about it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm going to. This will be posted tomorrow, which will be Sunday, February 2nd. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing other people's experiences.
I am too. God, I hope we hear some good stuff.
I know. I really want to. Okay. Well, bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.